This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Remember, Ryan, where we stopped. Which one? Nine. Which is our number nine? Yeah. Our number nine, what is that? For the kid in the Fati Dikara. This one. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد. اليوم الخامس من شهر ذي القعدة 1444 الموافق ل 25 من شهر مايو 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today, inshallah, we continue from where we stopped last class. And I guess we're supposed to begin from the saying of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى. فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى. Allah سبحانه وتعالى, He says, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ. He commanded the believers in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first and foremost, and the believers in general, that they should remind others. حَيْتُ تَنْفَعُ التَّذْكِرَ. In situations where the tadhkira is beneficial. Ibn Kathir says, وَمِنْهَا هُنَا يُؤْخَذُ الْأَدَبُ فِي نَشْرِ الْعِلْمِ فلا يضعه إن غير أهله كما قال أمير المؤمنين ما أنت بمحدث قوما حديثا لا تبلغه عقولهم إلا كان لبعضهم فتنة إلا كان فتنة لبعضهم وقال حدث الناس بما يعرفون أتحبون أن يكذب الله ورسوله. Ibn Kathir says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى. He says, remind people when the reminder is beneficial. That's why the scholar said, it is not all the time you remind. You wait first until the time the reminder benefits, then you remind. That's why Imam Shafi'i says, do not put knowledge in a place where people are not interested in that knowledge. With the people who are not interested in the knowledge you have, he said, don't waste your time to give that knowledge to them. Allah, this is very interesting because nowadays, most of the people in the universities and schools, are they interested in, we're just coming for the paper that we'll be getting at the end. And some, just because parents want them to be in the place, that's where they are studying it. Only a few. You find people who are coming because of the knowledge itself.
Yeah, because of the knowledge itself. So teaching is becoming a job. Students are becoming customers. Yeah, that's why the value of the knowledge is gone. Yeah, it was supposed to be a responsibility that a person feels it. That Islamically, as a Muslim, this is my responsibility to educate the nation. And as a student, a member of the community, it's my responsibility to remove ignorance from myself and also to learn how to remove the ignorance from whoever I'm going to meet in the future amongst the Muslims. So Imam Shafi'i says, do not teach people who don't want to learn. And that's true. You should prepare them first. Yeah, then you will start teaching. And this saves a lot of time for the teacher, actually. Because teaching people who are not interested in what you have, you know, is one of the worst decisions you will make. One of the worst decisions you will make. There are some people who you will be standing next to them for hours. And subhanAllah, you don't mind. Ya Allah, you don't mind. Yeah, because, and you don't feel it actually, because you are dealing with people who are looking for the knowledge itself. But subhanAllah, there are some people who you will be standing in front of them for a few seconds. You regret. You feel that you are teaching yourself. I have encountered situation like this, subhanAllah. It's very tough to feel that you are teaching yourself. Because we'll be talking for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours sometimes in the presence of a people you know and you are sure that they don't want to learn. They just here in front of you because they have to come. Yeah. So you have to prepare people first. You have to be in the presence of people who are interested. Yeah. Once this interest comes, then the learning process will take place. One of our professors in Medina long ago says, when they were in the secondary school, nobody succeeded in teaching them English except one teacher. Everyone the school sent fails, except one. That one, what did he do? He said he did not teach them first. For the first few days, he was busy trying to make them interested in the subject first. So the only thing he was doing is just to make them interested, bring their interest. Then after that, then he started teaching. You know, subhanAllah, he said, we really appreciated that because we understand the value of a good teacher, a teacher who knows what to do. And this is necessary for those who are teaching, this is really necessary. You must make sure that the students in front of you are interested in what you're teaching. But you might be tested by students who are not interested. You should make them interested. Yeah. That's why don't let your subject to be very dry. There are courses which are extremely dry. Dry. Nothing interested in them. So that's why you find the candidate in those subjects are very little. Yeah. Either somebody who has no choice. That was the only choice he has. Yeah. You as a teacher, as a murabbi, you are supposed to put the interest in them and start filling them with the knowledge. Trust me, they will do the most excellent job in it. How do you make it interesting? Don't teach ordinary knowledge just to them. Just passing the information. No, this is wrong. That's why you have to incorporate your teaching with other things. Yeah. That's why a good teacher sometimes is teaching nahw, very technical subject. He's teaching usul, very technical subject. But subhanAllah, we witness the people who you will not believe that this is usul class. You will think that this is some other subject or science class, yeah? Because they're looking for any opportunity for them to take a break. Yeah, because those subjects are very, very, very dry. Even in terms of increasing iman, how it doesn't give you more iman. Allah, this is how they are. They're very dry knowledge. That's how the scholars describe them. They're very dry knowledge. So up to date, you find in some places, those people who are teaching the language, Some of them are zanadika, subhanAllah. You doubt whether they're Muslim or not. Many places where I go, the students who are studying the faculty of the languages, you see the least in terms of practicing. They're those ones. But why? Because of the nature of the one who is giving you the information. That's why when you want to succeed in the school, you must have unity in terms of teaching. The biology teacher, the chemistry, and the Islamic studies teacher, they have to be united in terms of what to pass to the student. Otherwise, every day, somebody will be weaving and the other one is destroying. That's how it is. The honest student will come and ask, but this teacher is telling us this and that, but the other one is saying, which one shall we follow? School cannot succeed like this. It should be when it comes to the tarbiyah, what he got in the biology class is the same thing he is getting in the Islamic studies class. That's how people can succeed. I know a person, subhanAllah, he studied one of the universities. He said the one who taught them Nahu, he said they have doubt whether he's a Muslim or not. And he himself also, I don't think whether he considered himself Muslim or not. Because he used to tell them in his example, when he quote an example in the Quran, rather than saying like what Allah SWT says in the Quran, he says, كَمَا يَقُولُ اللَّهُ فِي قُرْآنِكُمْ. He said, this man used to tell us this like what Allah SWT says in your Quran. I don't want to call the name of the university, otherwise you might have some clue to where this university exists. But subhanAllah, they have. He told me a lot of things, subhanAllah, in my journey with him before he left. He says sometimes some of these people, when they teach them, they told them like this, you'll be having doubt whether they're Muslims or not. No, the person who is teaching language, you have a lot of examples from the Quran, a lot of examples from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is your opportunity, to make them interested in it. In the year 3, when I was doing my first degree, and we lost our language Nahu teacher. And subhanAllah, they sent us somebody, his name is Ibrahim al-Bu'aini, from the Faculty of Language, Player of Luga. An old man, he came. One of the best teachers I ever had in language was that person. He's the only one that I can't forget until now. And up to date, I remember his teaching. And I remember his examples. He told us that the first time he comes, he says, I know people don't like Nahu. They found it very technical and very dry. He says, don't worry. I'm going to make Nahu for you. Just like you see the salt when he put it in the water. He said, that's how I will make Nahu for you. Allah, he kept his word. That one, you can go out of his class to the exam hall and you will pass the exams. Because a passage, this man repeated it many times in the class. Even if you're sleeping, inshallah, you catch up some of them. In his class, you remember everything, you memorize everything before you go out. And subhanAllah, what he did to make it more interesting, because when we come to the Ash'arul Arab, those poetries made by the Arabs, we just tell you the mahallu shahid. We quote what we need from it. That's what makes it more dry. But this man is not. One bite, this man will take you back to the history of the shayr, who said it. We tell you that history. So it's like storytelling class. You will see everyone is involved in the class. That's how should be a teacher, honestly speaking. Yeah, that's why you teach as a friend teaching friends. Yeah, bring things which will make the student interesting. You have an objective in that because you want them to understand. But unfortunately, most of us, it's just my responsibility and my job, to pass the information so that I can legalize my salary. Yeah, so I just pass the information. They do understand, they don't understand, it doesn't matter. Yeah, that's why you find the real scholars back there. Sometimes they don't even finish. I'm not encouraging people not to finish the syllabus. If there is a way, you must make sure that you finish the syllabus. But there are some scholars, even Uthaymeen, for example, sometimes in his class, only part of it he taught. He said, that's more than enough. The most important thing, people understand what I'm doing. And he managed to create and to produce nations and leaders. People who understand him properly, And that which they got from him was enough for them to expand their knowledge in the future. Rather than bringing everything, and at the end of the day when he graduates, ask him. He became a Mufti in the certificate. We said he is an expert in this. He is laughing at himself. He knows he is not. That's why Amin al-Shanqiti, you know what Amin al-Shanqiti, right? Yeah. Very, 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 very knowledgeable person. Yeah. I don't know who to describe him with, but if you read his book, Atwa'ul Bayan, you will understand, you know, the capacity of this person in terms of knowledge. They even make a joke, you know. They said, but this one, I think is a joke. They say when he teach, you see him putting his hand like this. They said somebody asked him, Sheikh, why you put your hand like this and that? He said, the problem is whenever I start teaching, a lot of information are coming and I don't want them now. But if you listen to his lectures, the old one, you know, he talks about everything in his tafsir. Yeah. Somebody asked him, Sheikh, why you talk about everything in tafsir? He says, because people come to my class with so many objectives and wishes. He says, I know some people, they are studying language. Some people are studying aqidah. Some people are studying nahw. Some people are studying, tafsir. He said, I try in my lesson to address everyone, not to restrict myself to one particular group. That's why in his tafsir, you might think that this is tawheed class or aqidah class. You might think that this is nahw class. You might think that this is hadith class. You might think that, he said, I'm just trying to accommodate everyone in my class. You don't go out of my class without getting something that brought you to the place. This man, but this one, I'm not sure, but this is what they told us in the invigilation. That's the best invigilator you will ever see in your life. I believe you will like him so much. You know? They say when a student called him, you know, the invigilators, right? Their job is what? To guide, right? And to monitor the student. And also, if there is anyone who has question, they clarify the question. Yeah, so when you call him, like the question says, what are the arkan of Islam? Then you call him, Sheikh, I don't understand this question. Yeah, that's what they said about him. Wallahu alam. But they said he will say, this question, right? He said, yes. He said, actually, the question is asking you about the arkan of Islam. And by the way, arkan of Islam, we have only five. Number one is shahadatain. And this shahadatain is this, this, and that. He will give you all the nusus. Number two is the salah. And the student is... They said, according to the story, the university talked to him because he's too old and also technically most likely the most knowledgeable person in the university. So he has that big respect. They call him, they say, Sheikh, we're not questioning, but we just want to understand what is the justification behind this. And subhanAllah, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is haram to hide knowledge. This miskeen wants to learn. So they once asked him, they said, Sheikh, what is the meaning of shahadat al-zur? You know shahadat al-zur? False testimony. They say, what is the meaning of shahadat al-zur? He said, it's the certificate they will give you after you graduate. Yeah, and subhanAllah, and when you look at his word, it looks like jokes. But if I'm going to study the year one and I forgot, the year two also I forgot, year three also I forgot, year four also the first semester I forgot. The only thing that remains with me is the last classes I had with my lecturers. After the exam also I forgot. And the university, right, I am an expert in this field. Which shahada is that? So that's why it is wrong what we are doing. Well, like we have to change this culture. You know, as a teacher, whenever you come to the students and you ask them about what they studied last semester, sometimes you will be wondering, what should I teach? Should I teach the previous one to refresh their mind? Or I should just go ahead and teach them something new, which is supposed to be built upon the previous one, but they lost the previous one. No, as a student of knowledge, it's a waste of time. Actually, not even a student of knowledge, as a Muslim, is a waste of time. Wallah is a waste of time for you to forget what you spend the most valuable item after your soul for it, and that's your time. Yeah, 4 years of your life. But then afterwards, when you graduate with little. So we shouldn't do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. So back to the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعْتِ ذِكْرَى. Knowledge, you should give the knowledge to people who are interested in learning. So he says, remind people when the reminder is beneficial. So this is very important for you to prepare people first before you start preaching the knowledge. But that doesn't mean you should have bad expectation. No, you should always try. We're talking about the person that should know this person 100% is not ready, and there is no possibility for you to, put him in that right path. You have to prepare him first before you start inviting them. But this is different from when you reach a place and you found nobody's given da'wah in that place. Why? Because people think that people will not accept. Just like what we have nowadays, we always have bad expectation about others. They will not listen. There is a book written by Ismail Muqaddam. One of the most interesting part I found very interesting in that book is the name of the book is Ulul Himma, High Determination. He has this title that he called, well, I forgot the name of the title, but the story which I shared with some of you last time, that a man went to a place and he found nobody in the masjid except a few. So he asked people, where are the rest? They said they are there busy with their clubs. And he said, this is how the community is. They told him, yes. He said, nobody give them da'wah. He said, no, because they will not listen. He said, I want to know the place. They show him the club. So the man went with his beard and long jubba. And he went to the place, the club owner saw him. They told him, where are you going? Because this is not a place for people like him. So according to the story, at the end of the day, he told him, please, I want to go. He said, no, you can't. We will not let you go. He said, how much you get on a daily basis? How much you get? He said, this amount of money, usually. He said, what if I pay you the whole amount? You can take from others, but I'm going to pay you whatever you are getting. I will pay that amount. If you get 1,000 ringgit every day, I'm going to give you 1,000 just for myself. Yeah. And then you can take from others. You know, this person is looking for what? Money. So when he hears this offer, he said, I just go in, you know. He took the cash and he let him go. SubhanAllah, Dr. Smile says, when the man went to the place and he wait until his turn comes, you know, everyone on the stage going and doing his khuza'balat, until the time they reach. So when his time came and he went to the stage, when people saw him, he shackled, you know, with the jubba and everything, everyone's laughing and, what do you call this? Clapping all, Yusuf Fiqul. SubhanAllah, and he was very patient. They were laughing, screaming and whistling, you know, making mockery on him. One person amongst them was not, because the man, when he sat down on the chair, he started saying, Inna alhamdulillah. In the nightclub, you have Inna alhamdulillah. That's what makes them laugh a lot. So somebody from the crowd told them, I think this is not appropriate. Although we don't agree with him, but adab, according to the adab, we should listen at least. Let him finish his word and then you go. Don't accept from him, but at least respect. You know, SubhanAllah, he says everyone listen after that. To cut the story short, he finished his statement. Very simple statement, very simple address he gave them. He said the vast majority of the people who are in that place cried. And at the end of the day, even the guy who owned the night, that club also changed his mind and closed it. That was the last day for them to have it, you know. That's why I never lose hope. You know, I found it interesting when those guys from the Jews, when the criminals told them, you shouldn't remind people because you're wasting your time. They said what? Ma'athiratan ila rabbikum. They said, you're minding them is a waste of time because Allah is going to punish them and they will not listen. They said, no. Ma'athiratan ila rabbikum. Wala'allahum yattaqun. They said, we want Allah SWT to see our excuse that we are doing something to stop them from doing the crime. And also, on top of that, we don't know. Maybe yesterday they didn't listen, but today they will listen. you don't know. My job and your job is to have good expectation and approach people, you know, with wisdom, good manners. Acceptance is the job of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. يعني فرعون الله سبحانه وتعالى told موسى عليه السلام قولا له قولا لينا لعله يتذكر أو يخشى. فرعون, you know فرعون, right? Yeah, you know who is Fir'aun. But Allah told موسى to go and talk to him in a nice way. What did he say? He said لعله يتذكر أو يخشى. Allah knows that فرعون will never accept. But Allah wants the system to remain in the way it is. People should have good expectation when they approach others. Allah knows, but he sent Musa. He said, go and remind him. Maybe he will listen. Yeah, because my job and your job is not to translate what is in the heart of others, is to have good expectation and go and give them dawah. You don't know. And be optimistic. Maybe he will accept. But unfortunately, we're not. You go once, you have a negative reaction, we make a negative comment also. And sometimes everyone one will become bad. People, you know, somebody's here towards them, when the whole country like that to him. Yeah, we shouldn't be like that. An example is given to us in the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please do not misunderstand this, to stay away from the da'wah claiming that it will not benefit. No, these are the situations whereby you try your best, or you already see that this person is not interested. Create the interest first before you start feeding him with that knowledge. Take from Imam Shafi, do not be in the presence teaching a person who is not interested in that discipline. Let him go with that which he is interested with. Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ibn Kathir says, that's why Ali ibn Abi Talib says, إِنَّكَ لَا تُحَدِّثَ أَوْ لَن تُحَدِّثَ قَوْمًا حَدِيثًا لَا تَبْلُغُهُ عُقُولُهُمْ إِلَّا كَانَ لِبَعْضِهِمْ فِتْنَةً. He says, you will never talk to a people, you know, tell them something which their aql cannot comprehend it, except that is going to become fitna for some of them. You will lie. This is really important, really important. You talk to the people, ala qadri, aqulih. There are some people, if you talk to them, it will become fitna for them. So what do? You keep quiet. Yeah, there are some nusus, if you are to tell them to some people, they will end up committing sin rather than staying away from the sins. So you tell them this? No, you don't. Yeah, you're not hiding knowledge. You don't. Wait first until the time this person is prepared to receive this information and then pass it to him. Yeah. We have to be very smart when we are speaking to people. Understand the person that you are talking to. They call it mura'atu ahwal al-mad'uwi. You know, trying to understand the nature of those people who you are inviting. This is really necessary. Yeah, it's one of the greatest and the most important key to success in the da'wah. The Prophet was like that throughout his life. That's why the way he deals with the Bedouins is totally different from the way he deals with the people living in Medina. You will see him being very harsh. But a Bedouin will come and do something, and the Prophet will tolerate him. Because this is their life. If he's to reject him, you can guess what will happen. That person who brought his camel to the masjid, although some of the scholars said it wasn't in the masjid, he tied outside. But some say no, he brought it to the masjid. And then he went to the Prophet ﷺ, sitting in the middle of the companions, and then he told them, Ayyukum Muhammad. No respect at all. He said, Ayyukum Muhammad. Who is Muhammad? And Allah told them not to call him with his name, Al-Mujarrad. Yafsi Rasulullah. But they used to come and say, ya Muhammad, a'udhu billah. Just like they are talking to their cousins or friends. So he came, he says, ayyukum Muhammad, who is Muhammad? Just like that. They told him, hadha rajul al-abyad, the white person that is al-muttaki, that is lying down in front, in the middle of us. He went to the Prophet ﷺ and put his head next to the head of Rasulullah. He says, anta ibn Abdul Muttalib. The Prophet ﷺ look at him. He understand the one that he is dealing with. These are the Bedouins, you know. He says, yes. قُلْتُ لَكَ. He says, yeah, I told you, I am the one. He says, إِنِّي سَائِلُكَ وَمُشَدُّدٌ عَلَيْكَ فِي الْمَسْأَلَةِ. And wallahi, if you talk to your friend like this, it's enough, you know. But he's talking to Rasulullah. He said, I'm going to ask you questions and I'm going to be very strict in my questions. فَلَا تَجِدْ عَلَيَّ. So please don't get attitude and don't get annoyed. He already knows what he's telling him. I'm going to be very strict in my question. And then he told him, Allahu arsalak? Is Allah the one who sent you? You know, he says, Anshuduka billah. He asked him, he said, I ask you to swear by Allah. I ask you by Allah. Allahu arsalak? Allah is the one who sent you? He said, yes. He says, Allah is the one who sent me. And then he asked him all the questions he wanted to ask. And then he said, I am the one who, in some narration, he says, Ana Dhimam ibn Tha'alaba akhu bani Sa'd. There are some khilaf among the scholars whether he's Dhimam or another person. But the Bedouin came to the Prophet ﷺ. And the interesting part of the story is that he said, Ya Rasulullah, I am the wakil of my people. Sorry. He said, I am representing my people to come to you. Usually when we send somebody to represent others, we say who? Sorry. What is that? Water or okay? You have any cup? How to drink with this? Okay, I think it goes also. Okay, I think it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, JazakAllah khairan. Bismillah. Should I take it?
Take it.
Okay. So he says, I am the wakil for my people, representing them. And usually people send the best, you know, the aqil amongst them to go and represent them because they need an accurate information and they need somebody who is smart who will understand things in the way they are. Imagine if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is harsh to this person. Probably we lost the whole village. You know. They send him. He said, my people send me to come and check who you are. And whatever I tell them, they will just agree. Yeah, so that's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knows these Bedouins, so he deals with them differently. Yeah. In Sahih Bukhari, one of them came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba says, he was shouting from far distance. We can hear that the man is talking, but we don't understand what exactly is he talking about. Until then he came closer. And then we found out that he was asking the Prophet some questions. From there he was asking his questions. Yeah. Ya Rasulullah, if he says Rasulullah. I have a question from that place. Yahi, Rasulullah is here. Wait for us until you reach the place. So, faham nafsiyat al-akhareen, mura'at al-ahwal al-mad'oon is really important in the da'wah. To understand the people who you're speaking to speak to them according to their nature. You don't cheat in your da'wah, but speak to them according to their aql. What you say to an elderly person, you might not say to the young person. Yeah, what they understand, those who will not understand the same thing. Yeah. In every place, to kulli maqamin maqad. Yeah. What you say to your wife, what you say to other person, you might not say to your wife or your husband. Yeah. You might say something to somebody, he accepted. You say it to another person, it will be tragedy. You know? Yeah. And the same thing. So لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ. So he says, إِنَّكَ لَن تُحَدِّثَ قَوْمًا حَدِيثًا لَا تَبْلُغُهُ عُقُولُهُمْ إِلَّا كَانَ لِبَعْضِهِمْ فِتْنَةً. Yeah. So you always understand the nature of the people and then you talk to them. There are issues which you cannot discuss them everywhere. You have to talk to students.
And there are issues which you cannot discuss them with every student, special student, who are really, really studying the knowledge and you know they understand what you're talking about. Otherwise, trust me, you get into trouble. Yeah, you get into trouble. And Waqi' ibn Jarrah, I know you understand the history, you know. Very interesting and sad story, which has a lot of also lessons in it. You know, that says when you hate a person, leave some room. You know, don't hate completely, keep some room. Yeah, because trust me, sometimes that person that you're fighting might be the only solution you have. To get an idea, might be the only solution you have. They mentioned that Waqi' ibn Jarrah al-Ru'asi al-Kufi, one of the great muhaddithin, Waqi' mashur, ma'ruf. He was narrating hadith in Makkah. And that hadith is weak, or fabricated hadith actually. He was narrating this hadith, not because the hadith is authentic, but he was just narrating it to the people. Maybe if they were patient, he would tell them this hadith is weak. They said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that hadith, when he died, they did not bury him until the time his hand also started to turn like this. That's mean he started changing. Wal-iyadu billah. This hadith is fake. Fake. You know, very fake. Because even shuhada, that's why the Khalifa, the Wali who was in Makkah at that time, when the people of Makkah got annoyed with Waqi' for saying this, they did not see it as hadith. He is just narrating that somebody says this to inform them the grade or whatever. They do not pay attention to this. To them, Waqi' is narrating this hadith and he is disrespecting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Khalifa, without hesitating, the Khalifa, the governor, without hesitating, he told the people, just go and put the khashaba, you know, the wood in front of the masjid and bring him to me. He just want to crucify him. Kill him instantly and crucify him. So somebody told Waqi' that you have to leave because this man is serious. And he was really serious. Somebody told Waqi' ibn Jarrah, I forgot the name of that person. He told him, now we have to do something. Somebody has to talk to the Khalifa. And subhanAllah, at that time, they couldn't think of anyone except one scholar. And that scholar, there is a big clash between him and Waqi'. This is the time for him to take revenge. So when they told him, the man went to Waqi', he says, we have no choice except to talk to Fulan. That's why they said, leave some room. Don't hate so much. Leave some room. Sometimes that person might be the only solution you have. So they talked to him. And subhanAllah, he accepted the offer to go and intercede for him. He went to the Khalifa. He talked to the Khalifa. He tried to convince him. He said, no. The governor says, no, never. He has to die. He disrespected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then that sheikh told him, he says, you know, the father of Waqi' is one of the closest people to Khalifa. You are a governor appointed by the Khalifa. The father of Waqi' is next to the Khalifa. Trust me, if you kill Waqi', most likely you will be the next. He said, this is my advice to you. Since you don't want to listen, you kill him, you will be the next. That's what makes him convinced. He stopped. Tomorrow, one of the people came to him and he told him, congratulations, you did not kill him. He told him, no, not at all. He says, wallahi, I couldn't sleep last night. I was telling myself, how did I let this man go out of Makkah? He says, I regretted, you know, that forgiveness, I did it in the wrong way. He said, what comes to my mind was the shuhada of Uhud, when they dig some of their graves, they found some of them fresh, just like somebody who died just now. 40 years, they still found them fresh. He said, and then you talk to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like this, and I'm the one who released that person. He says, now I don't know what to do, what to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Waqi' reached Makkah, and the people of Makkah did not agree with that also. They sent somebody, he reached Medina. They sent somebody to Medina also to talk to the governor in
in Medina or to talk to the Khalifa, wherever he went. Subhanallah, they told Khalifa, and Khalifa was smart, so he called two scholars. One of them was, both of them are not having good mood with Waqi' ibn Jarrah. He has issue with both of them. None of them has. So one of them said, yeah, he deserved to be killed. He has to go. The other one said, no. He just narrated what has been said. He is not saying. If he's the one who's saying, then we can have the same decision. But why would you kill him? He just narrated that somebody said this and that. I believe we just warn him, but he doesn't deserve to be killed. Subhanallah. You see, the danger of narrating something to a people who cannot comprehend that he was almost going to lose his life. So that's the meaning of talk to the people according to what their akal can comprehend. Otherwise, trust me, it's going to be fitna for some of them. It's going to be fitna for some of them. There are hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Muslim. Trust me, the layman, the community, if you're going to narrate this hadith to them, it will be fitna for them. So the best is let him go to the school. Talk to him about other hadiths which are very simple, very clear. Yeah, that's why scholars said narrating a weak hadith in the khutbah is wrong. Yeah, because the layman that comes to listen to your khutbah, all they remember is Qala Rasulullah. When you narrate a fabricated hadith, at the end of it, you're going to say Qala Rasulullah, right? Yeah, most of the people there, they hear the word Qala Rasulullah. What you're going to say afterward of this hadith is fabricated. Trust me, most of the people don't even know what you're talking about. Tomorrow they will be introducing that hadith to others. Yeah, that's why this in a weak hadith and fabricated hadith, they are supposed to be discussed in the circles of remembrance with the student of knowledge. Yeah, because they know what you're talking about and they can be able to differentiate between this and that. The other statement also attributed to him, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Ibn Kathir says, and also he says, Ali ibn Abi Talib, he says what? ما كنت بمحدث قوما حديثا لا تبلغنا وقال حدث الناس بما يعرفون أتحبون أن يكذب الله ورسوله. He said, talk to the people according to what their aql can understand. Otherwise, trust me, even in our time, wallahi, if you don't do that, people might reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of ignorance. Yeah, talk to them according to the way they understand and they can comprehend. Right, and also look for the appropriate time for you to discuss matters. Like the case I narrated to you in Hajj, somebody went to a group of people who were waiting for the government to come and pick them up from Medina, but the government left them in Saudi Arabia for almost 1 month under the mercy of the people there. So the government in Saudi is giving them food on a daily basis. You know, a person who finished, they've been staying there for 2 months or more than that, you know, and they were neglected. So every day you hear nothing except making dua and cursing those government of theirs. Every day this is what they do. Somebody came at this moment where people are really, really, really angry. He told them, I don't see any reason why you guys are sad. You are in the Medina to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wal Madina tu khayrun lahum law kanu ya'lamun. Medina is better for them if they already know. Why are you sad? Subhanallah, somebody told him this is nonsense. This is a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is not the appropriate time for you to come, you know. Give them food first. Come with them and sit down with them after they eat, you know. Then tell them, you know, I know this is wrong. What your government did for letting you stay in here away from your family for no reason, you have already paid money for that. This is injustice. But since now it's a reality and they're not willing to come and pick you up, try to make the best of your stay here. Especially when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wal madinatu khayrun lahum law kanu ya'lamun." Try, make good intention. Keep on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them come. You know, put it in a nice way, they will accept it. But when you come and blame them for their sadness and tell them, "Wal madinatu khayrun lahum law kanu ya'lamun," of course you might hear words which might, if a person is to say it intentionally, because this one is, if a person is staying intentionally and he knows what he does, it might take him out of Islam because he is disrespecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ. You remind people. You should remind everyone when reminder is beneficial. Allah says, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. Those people who have taqwa, you know, the heart is ready. You know, when you remind them, they will reflect and they will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear Him because of your reminder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. And the wrongdoers are going to stay away from those reminders that the good ones are given. He says, وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى. The one who will be cast in the hell, the great tragedy, the greatest tragedy that everyone can imagine. SubhanAllah. Allah says, ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. You know, what makes living in hell the worst, you know, thing to be imagined is that in hell there will be no death and no life. I think everyone can imagine what we mean, right? No death, no life. You know, you are living a life that we cannot call it life, and we don't call it death. Manzila bayn al-manzilatayn, right? So you can understand what kind of life. Allah says, وَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ. He will see death from every dimension, every angle, but he will never die. That's why, wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, it is not an option for a person to think of having a transit in hell. It's really, really wrong way of thinking. It's beyond the realm of to think of transit in this place. It's a place that is so evil, which it eats itself. No, I just want us to understand this correctly. The place eats itself. Yeah, it eats itself. Yeah. It complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَكَلَ بَعْضِ بَعْضٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that place that on the day of judgment, I will make you full. And He is going to keep His word. Allah says in Surah Qaf, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ هَلْ امْتَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in As-Sahih, he said, لا يزال يلقى في النار وهي تقول هل من مزيد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep putting in hell. Who are the inhabitants of hell? الناس والحجارة. Rocks and human beings and jinns. Okay. لا يزال يلقى في النار وهي تقول هل من مزيد. And they will keep on saying هل من مزيد. Can I have more? Can I have more? I need more. I need more. You know, until the time everyone who is supposed to go to hell is already there. And hell is still asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, my promise, you promise me. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put His food, blessed food in it, and then the hell will shrink. The size will reduce. And it will keep on saying, Qat, Qat, Qat. Yeah, when the size will reduce, it will be the size that can only accommodate those who are inside. And that will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enough. Enough. And subhanAllah, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to hell, Allah did not create a new creation and put them in hell. Finish. Everyone finished who was supposed to go there. Allah did not bring new ones and put them there. But when it comes to Jannah, because He promised both of them to make them full, Jannah also will be looking for its promise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put everyone who is supposed to go. And then until the time you still have what you call balance, which is not occupied by anyone. Sorry. Balance which is not occupied by everyone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a new creation. فَيُسْكِنَهُمْ فَضْلَ الْجَنَّةِ. SubhanAllah, this is speak of justice. In hell, Allah will not bring new creation and put them in hell. But in Jannah, Allah, the balance of Jannah, Allah will create new creation and put them in the leftover of the Jannah, the place where there are nobody. So brothers and sisters, try your best to avoid having a transit in this place. Nobody can stand this place, wallahi. Nobody can stand this place. Allah says, وَجِئَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَى. So Allah says, The reminder benefits the believers. Those people who have taqwa in their heart, they benefit from the reminder. And they will always come for it. وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. And the wicked one, the bad one, will always run away from the reminder. الَّذِي يَسْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى. And that's why, wallahi, spread this message to everyone you know who is living a life of isolation. Yeah, nowadays, people are not interested in learning lectures and muhadarat. No? How many lectures we have like this in UI? They have a couple of them. You know, they have a couple of them. You have the individual one, you have the official one. But in almost every one you go, how many people are going to that place? Only a few. Qaleel. What happened to the rest? They're very busy. Do they have time? They enjoy other things. Yes, a lot. Yeah, sometimes you might not be wrong if you say the vast majority of the time is wasted in useless things. But the soul doesn't accommodate patience to come to the classes and benefit. And trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, it is very dangerous for a person to live a life where you don't have a class, you go and educate and improve your iman. It's very dangerous. قال الله عز وجل ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. This person in hell will not die in hell and will not live in hell. Allah says قد أفلح من تزكى. The one who purified his soul through the good manners, through the iman first and foremost, because the only thing that can purify and clean your soul is iman. So the one who clean his soul and his heart with iman, with ma'rifatullahi azza wa jal, and giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his right, and also observing the good manners and staying away from the bad ones, and stay away from arrogance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the hell in Surah 2, and Nazi'at, he says, وَجِئَ يَوْمَ إِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَى. That's Surah 2, Al-Fajr. But in he says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. As for the person who is arrogant. Who is an arrogant? An arrogant person is somebody who rejects the truth and disrespect others. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الْكِبْرُ بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَبْطُ النَّاسِ. So, be muwahid lillahi azza wa jalla. This is how the soul be purified. You know, and then you have the tranquility of the mind, tranquility of the heart, بإذن الوحيد الأحد. So Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. This shows that one of the most, if not the most important thing that you should be busy with in this life is tazkiyatun nafs. But tazkiyatun nafs is not gained through the causes that we go. Sometimes we have a courses on tazkiyatun nafs. Yeah, it's good to have, but I'm not belittling. But subhanAllah, if you look at the product that we produce after that, it's not that much. Iwallah, tazkiyatun nafs comes into the simple classes you have in the masajid, simple reminders you have between you and your brothers, you know, simple discussion that you have between you and your brothers who are the student of knowledge, reading the Quran, tadabbur kitabillahi azza wa jal, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi wa liyatadhakara. This is how you find the tazkiyatun nafs. Tazkiyatun nafs comes through the strong dedication you have when you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, you know, give the charity. This is how the purification of the soul comes. Not go into places where you go out of those places with nothing except that you waste your money and you earn nothing except jokes and laughing. You get the idea? That's why when it comes to tazkiyatun nafs and the reminders, go and check the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it comes to these kind of matters. The Prophet doesn't joke. Very serious. Very serious. Tell people the reality because he needs to remind them, you know, to be standing upright. Okay. قَالَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. He does the tazkiyatun nafs, right? And then what does he do to purify himself? Allah says he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which dhikr? The authentic dhikr. Subhanallah. Walhamdulillah. Wa la ilaha illallah. Wallahu akbar. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La ilaha illallah. You know? those adhkar that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned to us. Not the dhikr that somebody would just sit down there shouting, screaming, who. The strangest dhikr I heard. There are some people who are doing this, just who. The strangest dhikr I heard. Inshallah, you will never hear this dhikr. Inshallah. Inshallah. But now I'm going to say it to you. أُسُّ أَسِيسًا فِي سَيْسَيْ. Yeah. I don't know. I have to ask first also. نُمُّ نَمِيمًا فِي مَيْ مَيْ. أُكُّ أَكِيكًا فِي كَيْ كَيْ. He wallah. As the speaker says, this is dhikr. Some people worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. He said, they ask one of them, what is the meaning of this? He said, he doesn't know. The sheikh also doesn't know. He also doesn't know. But he sit down to do this and thinking that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for. A'udhu billah. You cannot remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with something which he doesn't ask you to remember him. And so when it comes to dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you take it from who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone. Because this is Allah. This is Allah. Trust me, if I'm going to call you certain names which I have chosen for myself, if you don't like those names, you know, if that is justice in the country, you take me to the court. And you will not accept it. But this is Rabbul Alameen, the one who created you and me. And then you just call him with any name you want. You describe him with any sifa you want. Just because he doesn't send angel to threaten you. No, we have to be very careful. Dhikr can only be taken from who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, وَذَكَّرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّىٰ. He remembers the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also at the same time he prays to Allah. These are the means of the tazkiyat al-nafs, dhikr. And dhikr, you have to do it correctly. Okay, when you come, Allah, 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 you know that? In a few seconds you finish subhanallah. Yeah. There are some people when the sheikh told them, do dhikr, recite, do salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 10 times. Trust me. Salat for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 10 times. Salat for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 10 times. Salat for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 10 times. That's salat? No. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do that, subhanallah, subhanallah, after the prayer, how do you do it? Calmly. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. This is what benefits. Not something that the bee is the sound of the bee. You know, this is not dhikr at all. You have to focus to understand what you are saying. This is the dhikr that benefits. This is the dhikr that produces comfort in the heart of a person. Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, if you do it correctly, بإذن الواحد الأحد, you will get a lot of relief in your life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the worry in your life. Because He promised in Surah Al-Ra'd, He says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. He says, only through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hearts can find tranquility. Somebody amongst our scholars was really right when he says most of our psychological problems, the solution for these problems is this ayah. Dhikrullah azza wa jalla. But it sounds so conservative, right? Yeah, when you tell people to do it, they look at you as a very conservative person. Tell your daughter when she tells you, Dad, I want some support with money. Tell her, do dhikrullah. Yeah, and see the reaction. If she's very, very, very humble to you, she will just listen to you and move. She will tell you, thank you, Dad. And she will never do. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Fatima told him, I want somebody to support me at home, he said, go home, I will come to you. They were expecting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give them some servants, somebody to help them. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came at night. He said, you guys have asked me for somebody to support you, right? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, can I guide you to something which is better? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, when you go to sleep, say Subhanallah 33 times. Walhamdulillah 33 times. Wallahu Akbar 34 times. He said, this is better than what you're looking for. Have a nice night. That's it. He wallah. Because the hadith of the Prophet said,
وَآمُرُكُمْ بِسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا صَلَاتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَبِهَا يُرْزَقُ الْخَلْقُ. Nuh alayhi salam told his children, he says, I command you to say subhanallah because it is the prayer of every living thing. Every kulli shay, actually not living thing, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, the way they pray is subhanallah. And we have the support for this when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Tusabbihu lahu samawati sab'a wal ardu wa man fihin. Wa in min shayin illa yusabbihu bihamdihi wa lakin la tafqahuna tasbihah. So don't worry, my dear brothers and sisters. I'm not saying you should just say dhikrullah and then sleep at home. No, Allah doesn't make it like this. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do the dhikr and put out to look for the rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how to put barakah in what you are getting. You put barakah in it. Where you are expected to get one, Allah will make it hundreds of them. You also, you have no clue how come these are coming. This is a barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of what? The dhikr, your tongue is always remembered in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, awsini, qala la yazalu lisanuka ratban bi dhikrillahi azza wa jal. He said, Ya Rasulullah, please tell me something that I will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. Innaka shara'il islamika kathurat alayhi. He says, I have so many things in Islam to remember. He said, I want something simple that I can always remember and do it and I will be proud of doing it. He says, make sure that your tongue is constantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we do the dhikr? Raise up our voice? No. Allah says, tadarru'an wa khifatan wa duna al-jahri min al-qawli bil-guru wal-asal. You have to be moderate. So you sit down and do it without disturbing others. You do it silently. You move your lips. You know, raise up your voice a bit in the way you can hear yourself alone. You know, if there is somebody next to you who is doing the dhikr also, you shouldn't raise up your voice because you might distract him. Is that clear? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. They are raising up their voice with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should lower your voice. He said, relax. فَإِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدْعُونَ أَصَمَّ وَلَا غَائِبًا. You are not calling upon somebody who is deaf or somebody who is absent. He said, relax. Do it calmly, you know. You're calling somebody who hears all of the that's what. So that's how you should do the dhikr. So the most important thing is to make sure that your dhikr is taken from where? From Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can't call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with something which he did not ask you to call him with. Get the idea? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَّى رَسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. And that person also prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which type of prayer purifies the soul? Which type of prayer? Our prayers? Insha'Allah. Just say insha'Allah, at least, you know, insha'Allah. Allahumma taqabbal, you know. Our prayers, just say Allahumma taqabbal. Taqabbal Allah, you know. Taqabbal Allah ta'atina. Wallah, if you look at the prayers of the predecessors, subhanAllah, and you compare it with ours, you know, almost in everything, they are different from us. The way they stand, you know, firmly, focusing in the prayer, not looking here and there. Their eyes is just in one place. And the most important thing is the heart is focusing so much on that which the person is doing. That's why it produces a lot of people, because prayer is supposed to make you somebody. But we do pray, alhamdulillah. But you don't see the effect of the prayer community. That's mean there is something wrong, wallahi, in our prayers. Yeah, come to the masajid and see. You will understand that there is something wrong in the prayers. People pray in their own ways. And it's not easy to remind a person to pray correctly, which is very wrong. You have to pray like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No rushing in the prayer. Calmly. Yeah, pray slowly and calmly. And you must make sure that you know what you are saying in the prayer. In the sujood, you make dua, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you do the tasbih correctly. In the tashahud also, you do the same thing. The real sujood is when you see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in sujood. So every act of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, is amazing, it's excellent. So when he comes to the prayer, from the time he's making wudu, you understand that, yes, it's the biggest matter in the Muslim community in the past.
And it is everything for them. Everything for them. Yeah. Righteousness is everything for them. That's why when that man came to him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, choose for me one of the slaves, you know, to be my maid at home. The Prophet said, اختر هذا فإني رأيته يصلي. Salah is the scale, the measurement, you know. He said, take this one because I saw him praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar used to go around after he finished the prayer. When he looked, you know, the imam after the prayer would look at people, right? Umar used to check and see who comes for Fajr and who missed the Fajr. And subhanAllah, he used to go to the houses of those people who missed, and he used to ask. I remember in Muwatta, I forgot the name of that person. Umar asked about him. He couldn't see him in the masjid. So after the prayer, he went. He found his mother. He asked her, how about so-and-so-and-so? We miss him in the masjid. SubhanAllah. So we miss him in the masjid. She said, unfortunately, he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night so long. And then he was overtaken by the sleep. So he slept and missed Fajr. Umar says, SubhanAllah. The one that he slept is better than the one he prayed at night. Yeah, because night prayer, even if you pray whatever you pray, it is not equal to the Fajr prayer. Cannot be equal to the Fajr prayer. Yeah, Nur ala Nur, when you pray the night prayer, is a loss for a person to live a life where he doesn't pray the night prayer. But at the same time, it is not equal to the night prayer. If you know that if you pray the night prayer, you're going to miss Fajr, it's haram for you actually to stay for that night prayer. You must sleep so that you can wake up early, because that one is a requirement. But this one is a virtue, an additional reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do so that you will be on the safe side when you meet him on the day of judgment. You get the idea? Yeah. So if this is the night prayer like that, and the scholars said you cannot favor the night prayer if you know that you're going to miss Fajr, how about what we're doing now? Chatting, talking until the very latest night, and then we miss the Fajr. So they used to take the prayer very seriously. Yeah. Righteousness in the time of the companions of the Prophet is the measurement, the mayar, the scale, the weigh things. I remember Asma bint Abi Bakr, the sister of Aisha radiallahu anha. They said she's older than 10 years older than Aisha radiallahu anha. She married Zubair bin Awam. And Zubair bin Awam is a person, very kind and very good person, but there's a person that, you know, subhanAllah, when he gets angry, his anger is blind. They mentioned that he used to call himself, he said, "Ana mu'minu rida wa kafirul ghadab." He used to say that when I'm pleased, my rida is mu'min. That means beyond what you can ever imagine if he's happy. But if he's angry, he said, my anger is kafir. Kafir doesn't mean kafir, you know, it means blind, you know. That's why they said Umar used to tell him, Zubair, I believe if you are lawalat ilayk, he's talking about khilafah, if you are to be the khalifa of the Muslimin, you will be willing to fight, to wage war because of one mud of a seed, one mud of a reed, wheat. You don't mind seeing all of everyone is getting down, you can fight, you know, for this. Even if anyone is going to die, it doesn't matter. So he used to just smile and go. So the problem is his wives. Yeah. Definitely miskinat. He married the daughter of Abu Bakr. He has a first wife and he married the daughter of Abu Bakr. That one knows who is Zubair. When she did mistake and they used to support him in the farm, when they did mistake and he got annoyed, he's going to smack. When he bring his hand to smack, this old one, she's already experienced the system properly. So she knows how to defend herself. But Asma was a newcomer, somebody who just came to the house. She doesn't know. So when he came, that one will protect herself and the hand will reach Asma. So she complained to her. She told him it's very tough life. We go and help him in the farm, and also an easy person. Yeah, they enjoy life, but this part, when he's angry, is really uneasy. So she was complaining to the father. Imagine in our time, you will just see maybe the police coming to you. You are invited in the court, you know. The father already complained. But subhanAllah, nobody says what Zubayr is doing is right. Is the right thing to be done? No, it's not the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam living with the spouses. But this is who he was. So when she complained to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr listened to her, he said, please be patient. He understands the situation, he doesn't say you are wrong. No, he said, but please, I'm begging you, be patient. Because I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, inna Zubayran rajulun salih. He said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that Zubayr is a righteous person. I don't want you to lose that company. So he's to ask her to be patient. Why did he ask her to be patient? Because of his righteousness. No. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَكَّ رَسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّهِ. So I really urge each and every one of us to spread this message. You pray first in the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray. Make sure that every single part of your prayer, you know where did you take it. Is it difficult to do that? Wallahi, it's not. It's not difficult for you to learn how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray. Yeah. You just have to squeeze some time. We have time for everything, except for the religious, issues. We don't have time. Everyone will give you a lot of excuses, but we have time for every other thing. In our meetings, we try to go on time, but when it comes to things which will bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our time is really little. We give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the balance, if any. So I really urge each and every one of us to go back and learn how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray, and make sure that whenever you pray to Allah, you're praying like that one. Wallahi, you will taste it so much. When you say Allahu Akbar, the way you put your hand, this is what you're told that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It will have a taste better than before. When you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, learn the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. Now, most of us don't know the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha except what Mohsin Khan told you. Yeah, that the good one among us, those one who read the translation and know the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. Is that the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha? No. It's much greater than this, I'm telling you. If you go to the real scholars, they can simplify everything for you. The real meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha, ask you by Allah, read Surah Al-Fatiha with this kind of tadabbur and tell me after that, your prayer now, is it like before? You might make it longer than before. That laziness that you used to have when you pray, trust me, it will be gone. Because you will enjoy your prayer. And that translates why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to us that Allah put his qurratu ayn in the prayer. When he prays, he enjoys. He prays and stays for more than 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours in one rak'ah. Yeah, this is the only translation you have is this. Because they focus so much, they feel what they are doing. And in our time, it's different, Allahumma taqabbal. It becomes just a ritual. Yeah, I know that I have to pray, I just do. Yeah, what did I read in the first rak'ah? I even forgot that one. What did Imam read in the first rak'ah? Most of us, if you were to ask, they don't know. Yeah, even if you read the short surahs, why? Because our mind, the heart is somewhere else. To train yourself, it doesn't come in the middle of the day, but train yourself slowly, slowly, gradually, inshallah, slowly, slowly, you will be able to defeat the shaitan in this regard. Yeah, shaitan doesn't want you to pray nicely. That's why whenever you pray, they are present. Yeah, to make sure that this waswas doesn't come. But unfortunately, nowadays in our masajid, do we give them chance to come? Yes. Yes, because I stand here and my brother is there. I open the place where the Prophet said it shouldn't be open. And shaitan comes. So if I have doubt in my prayer and I have confusion in my prayer and I have these things that are coming to my prayer, I can understand why are they coming. No. Because I don't fix the sufuf. Wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, you see this prayer that we are belittling? It's a source of unity in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's a source of success. Only when we keep it intact, we will succeed. When you do it according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the nation can succeed. Trust me, this is the only way out from this predicament and all of the obstacles in life that we're facing, to fix the prayers in the masjid. The sufuf, are you happy with the saf in our masajid? No. Yeah, only in some places where you go, you find, definitely you feel that you're praying in the masjid according to the sunnah of the Prophet. But in most of our masajid, no, everyone is praying in the way he wants. And you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says? He says, "Latusawwunna sufufakum aw la yukhalifanna Allahu bayna wujuhikum." Yeah, I always say that hearts are not pure and clean, except man rahimallahu azza wa jal. People are people of revenge. I'm just waiting for the time to come for me to take revenge. No forgiveness, no tolerance, no. Yeah, because we lost the source of this kind of cooperation and unity in the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, "Wallahi, either you fix the line and you make it correct and you stand, nobody's making coming forward. Everyone, the chest has to be in the same line, you know. The foot have to be in the same line." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to arrange the line, you know. He said, this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has to make sure that everyone is standing properly. When he sees somebody's chest is just a bit in front of others, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to get annoyed and tell them, "Wallahi, either you fix the lines or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make differences between your faces." And the scholar said, this is reference to enmity and hatred in our heart. That's the meaning of making differences between our faces. We don't recognize each other. Because if I know him, I'm not going to fight usually the person I know. Do you get the idea? This is how it is. Even in the moment of fighting, we don't fight. The funniest accident I heard from one of us, he's not here, so I can narrate the accident on his behalf. The funniest accident I heard is the accident in Jeddah, which translates what I'm saying now, that we usually don't fight people who we know. People hit each other with the car. When you come out, they come out with what kind of face? Angry faces to start, maybe punching or shouting, or they're calling all kinds of insurance to come and see who is wrong, who is right, you know. They came out to fight. Oh, they realize that they are relatives. So instead, they end up hugging each other in front of everyone. And they go back to the car and say, "Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, see you next, inshallah." Yeah, that's how it is. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make differences among our faces. This recognition is not going to take place. We will hate each other. And that's what we see in our community. So we want things to be fixed. We have to fix the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masajid. And the only way to fix it is only one way. Yeah, this is not a claim, it's a fact. There is only one way, which is to pray like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I think every book of fiqh you take, they have a section. The books of hadith, they are replete with this sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about how did he make everything. So do we have excuse not to learn? Obviously, no. Don't let yourself die and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not knowing the position of your prayer. Go and check and see whether yours is like his or not. If it is not like his, remember the hadith of Malik ibn al-Huwayrith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." It's as simple as this. He said, "Pray as you have seen me praying." He said to Khalad, if you die like this, you will die according to something else, but not our religion. He says, Allah says, "Wadhakkar asma rabbihi fasalla." He remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does the dhikr according to the authentic way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in making dhikr. And he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the correct prayer, not his own version. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. إنه بكل جميل كفيل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. One question, Mazin. With no babies.
Sheikh, there's a question from a brother. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu
alaikum. May Allah bless you.
And you too, all of us.
Amen. I want to confess to this sister and ask for marriage.
Hadith of Shabab is always marriage, right? Yeah, wait, Khalid, we have to listen to the rest of the question.
Yeah. You're in for something with. I've been trying to give up on her or forget her. And alhamdulillah, it worked for some time. To forget about her. But now the feelings have come back, even though I don't interact with her at all anymore. I want to end these feelings as soon as possible. Will this please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Yes, of course. If he's having the feeling in the wrong way, it will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to have the feeling of wanting to marry somebody Islamically is okay. To have the feeling, as long as you don't make it in the wrong way, it's okay Islamically. Yeah, but don't take it in the way it will be disturbing, distract a person. Because sometimes people, you know, some people might stay away from being productive in their life because of these thoughts that comes to them. Wanting to marry somebody who they know this person might not accept them. This one is not being realistic in the life of a person. Yeah. Seriously, I really advise a person to make a very serious and strong decision. Identify the person that you want, identify the person that he wants to go with, you know, and just go ahead. Close this page. Issue of marriage shouldn't be prolonged at all. Yeah, shouldn't be prolonged. The moment you want to do, you identify the person you want, just go ahead. Close that page. Because it is really disturbing. Most of the people that get into this kind of love, they don't do anything in their life. They get disturbed. Have people who says whenever, even in the exam hall, he says when he opens the paper, he sees some people in the paper. So what can I do with this person, you know? Yeah. Honestly speaking, I don't think there is somebody who deserves to be in the heart of another person disturbing him except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and righteousness. That's it. But is it okay for a person to love, to marry somebody and to think of how to make it a reality? Yes, that's okay, that's fine. Yeah. But if the person is making that love in the wrong way, he has to forget it. He has to do everything possible to forget it. And the best way for me is to get himself busy with other matters. Yeah. There are a lot of things for him to do. Yeah. If I have the person in person and he tells me his story, then I will advise him wisely, inshallah. There is one baby comes. An old question. We don't deal with old people. We just want the new ones. Okay, what is the old one?
I asked you the question today. The niya, about the niya. If I have a niya in the morning about doing good deeds the whole day, but I forget to do the niya right before the good deed, so can I? Having the reward?
Different. You know, everything, a person will get the reward for that which he has intended. When there is an intention, Allah SWT will give you the reward for your intention. But if a person goes out of his house with intention that I will never pass something which is an opportunity that Allah SWT loves, except that I do it. He has this intention. Yeah, whatever he did which is righteousness, be it in light, Allah, he will get the reward of that. That intention will be sufficient, inshallah. Alas, yeah. Any question here from here?
Yes. As-salamu alaykum, Shaykh. As-salamu. You said that depending on the person you're speaking to.
We said.
You said.
Shaykh. We said.
Yeah. So, what I'm asking is, some da'is, when they're speaking to people who are very openly opposed to Islam, they will gloss over many important parts of Islam, especially Surah At-Tawbah and Surah An-Nur, and men, it's like they will go out of their way to steer the person around the contents of the Quran because they believe they will not be able to handle them. Is this halal or?
Okay, put it more simpler.
More simply?
Mm.
Okay. Specifically, in Dawah in the West, the most controversial surah is Surah At-Tawbah. This causes a lot of problems, and there's constantly arguments about this.
Yeah, because it has those qatiluhum qatilul ladhina la yu'minun.
So is it halal to try?
You hear a lot of, no, that's haram. Yeah, Quran has to be interpreted correctly. Must be interpreted correctly with no apology. Yeah, if you put something, I was listening to a debate. You know, somebody was blaming Islam, these things exist, that you have in Islam, one ayah, you know, I think it's Dawkins, that mulhid. Yeah, he was saying the problem of the religions and especially Islam is that you have two things. One of them is saying to you yes, and the other one is saying to you no, so you have to just choose. But that's a typical ignorance.
Yeah, when talking about this, let's read Quran carefully. With no apology, we keep the nusus in the way they are. Tell me, which country is that? Maybe there might be, but I don't know personally. I don't know. Which country is that which doesn't have a law that is harsh against a criminal? No country is that. So when you tell a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْيَهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا, they will tell you this is a joke, because in that place, but he says you can kill everyone, kill all of them. And now you are telling me, وَمَنْ أَحْيَهَا. Yeah, and Islam is a complete system. It's a complete system. Islam has a law to do with the criminals. In every country we have this. No country tolerates people to do whatever they want. They have harsh laws against those people. But they're the same people who are calling for peace. You know, you have to be tolerant, you have to be this and that. Why didn't you tolerate this criminal who was doing everything in your country? Why can't you apply the same thing, turn the other cheek? When he commit the crime, give him more, you know, and give him whatever. We don't. But just because of hatred and enmity against Islam, then we go to Islam and find these things and say, oh, Islam is a religion of harshness and all of these things. No, with no apology, we need this thing to exist in us. You know, that's why somebody was right. I found it very interesting. You know, he says that you have the truth with you, but the truth doesn't be effective in most instances unless if there is a quwwah that is protecting the truth. That's what they do. You don't use the quwwah, the strength and the power in the wrong way, but it has to be there. Just stand by. Those criminals, when they see, they know who you are. Even if they don't follow you, but they don't go and mess up with you. No? Yeah, that's why you see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first told him, just forgive everyone. But when they go to Medina, the case was not like that. Allah says, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظلموا وإن الله على نصرهم لقدير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to fight back. That's how they managed to protect the religion and to protect the Muslim community. They are not troublemakers, but they have the power which stands in front of the mujrimeen, the criminals, and this is what they don't want. Yeah, they want you just to be a weak so that they can exploit you in the way they are doing nowadays, day and night, because we can't do anything. In the financial system, in whatever social life, whatever life, you know, they are dominating. We just have to watch and accept whatever they give us. Islam doesn't agree with this. That's why they hate the religion. The most peaceful religion on earth is Islam. With no apology, no modification, no mujamala. Let them come inside Islam, they will see it. And trust me, if they read it with a pure and clean heart, they will see it. So this is my address to others. But unfortunately, you have those people in the West, they twist the nusus. I heard the person, you know, with my ears, he was trying to say that beating in Islam, to beat your wife, doesn't exist. He said it's haram. It doesn't exist, actually. Then he went to Quran and he found that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wadribuhun. No, Khalid, if he says sometimes, you can understand. But he says, actually, ad-darb doesn't mean beat. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضَرَبَ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا. It's like to give example. You Allah, I'm not paraphrasing him. This is exactly what he says. He says example. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا. Allah is giving them example. Darb, ضَرَبَ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا. Why do I need this? You know, what is the connection between ayah with darbul mathal? No connection. But for him to get the PR, to live in the Western community, he has to say this, for them to accept him. That's why it's wajib upon him to leave the Muslim that country to come and live with the Muslims, so that he can practice your deen. You know, subhanAllah. Do we have nusus in the Quran, in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that advise a person to be very and the best person to his wife? How can you be the best and you are beating her day and night? How? And go to the Prophet ﷺ and his Sunnah, he never beat his wife. He teaches a method that you go and give a tarbiyah, correct tarbiyah and correct life to your family in the way you will not need to go for, even shouting sometimes. Wallahi, if you follow the manhaj of Rasulullah ﷺ in living with wife, trust me. Yeah, I know many people think that some of the wives are shayateen, you know. No, it's not like that. I truly believe that if you're going to apply the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in living with your family members, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, you will enjoy life. You will never need to shout. Yeah, you might blame from time to time, but you will never need to shout. We don't need to say the reason. I mean, you raise up your hand. You don't need to raise up your hand for you to hit. Maybe when you are joking, you know, but not in the sense of ta'dib. If you're doing the correct thing, living like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But unfortunately, what kind of life we are living? Trust me, we have many husbands, they don't smile at home. His life is very rough with his family. Yeah, and then at the same time, he complained that she's not submitting, she's not doing this, she's not doing that. Yeah, she's committing sin by not doing, but is she doing his job? Is he doing his job? No. Live with her like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and trust me, life is going to be different. But these are human beings, you know. You are human being, he is human being, she is human being, you know, you are human being. You know, there is a method to live. Go and study the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Apply that life in your house and tell me whether it works or not. But unfortunately, we don't. We demand from them, but we don't give them the right. Just like the way also they demand from us, but they don't give us our right. Everyone is like that. That's why you have a lot of complaint in a way. Some scholars will tell us that they wonder whether there is a house on earth that there is no problem between the husband and wife. You hear strange things when you link yourself to the married people. You know, lot of things. And the young ones, you know, or people who did not marry yet, you see marriage like Jannah, right? Inshallah, it is. If you make a proper plan, marriage is Jannah. Wallahi, trust me, marriage is Jannah if you plan for it. Jannah is ni'mah in the dunya. You will hesitate a lot before you go out of your house because you don't want to leave your family. Both sides, the children and the spouse in the house. But if you plan for that and you live correctly, but if you have your own method of life, yeah, you're going to call Khalid for fatwa in there. He is planning to go and live in the village, so don't worry, he will never receive your call after that. Anyway, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. So this is a very good question, and that's what makes hijrah necessary for those people who know that they have to modify their religion for them to stay in the Western community. They have to come and live with the Muslims wherever they are. Thank you very much. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.